Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, and happy Halloween to all of you out there celebrating this week. Today, I'm very excited to have with us on the show Lale Alemzadeh Hancock, and she is the Management and Professional Services Consultant, as well as Right Voice for You Facilitator, and the founder and CEO of global professional services company Bellapimo. With nearly 30 years' experience in operational excellence, change management, organizational wellness, and business consulting, Lale has inspired and empowered hundreds of thousands of individuals, including Fortune 500 executives, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, athletes, and veterans. A lifelong entrepreneur and passionate change agent, Lale strives to seek out possibility in every problem and aims to facilitate strategic change and optimal growth for all of her clients. She is an advocate for people of ages, all ages with special needs or disabilities, as well as their caregivers, and served on the Governor of Maryland's Caregivers Supporting Coordinating Council for 4 years. Through her own organization, Global Wellness for All, Lale inspires individuals to create wellness in all areas of their life, including with individuals with perceived disabilities, to create more and greater success. So thank you so much for joining us today, Lale.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you so much for having me here.
Yes, I love this topic. I love the fact that your company, it sounds like both of your companies, are all about helping uplift, inspire, and empower people.
That's it. That's what we're here for.
That's amazing. So how did this journey begin for you? How did this become your life path and your career path?
You know, it's really interesting because when I share this story, I think I was maybe 5 or 6 years old, I think, when it all started. I always loved helping people. And it was like, you know, it just continued on in my career. And when I look at whether I was an employee, I was an executive or a leader, like it just always continued to look at what are we doing? How can we empower people to have greater things to reach for? How do we empower them to know that they actually, you know, they have the abilities, but it's just sometimes maybe they don't even know they have it. And when I decided to go on my own about 8 years ago, I just realized I could do that at a much larger scale than the companies I was working with. So it's just continued on.
So was it a challenge at all for you when you made that choice to leave the corporate world and move into doing your own business?
Well, I had a transition time. So I left corporate and I went to corporate and then I went to a startup. And then from the startup, I started to work with a not-for-profit organization in Maryland. And I was the senior vice president of programs and services there. And one of the things that I realized is just so many of us, it doesn't matter if we're for-profit, not-for-profit, we all have the same problems. We just call them different things. And so, you know, the excitement came about a couple of years into the not-for-profit to realize this need of actually empowering people, no matter who they are, is much greater than I realized. And so it was actually an easier transition than I thought it would be, because it was carrying forth exactly what I was doing in for-profit or not-for-profit. And then now really being able to do it with multiple agencies or multiple organizations.
Yeah, it's funny. It's not unique to any one group of people. I think that the fear of failure holds us all back. And so if there's somebody out there who's saying, okay, well, that's great for Lale. You know, she left the corporate world. She did a startup. She went and worked in nonprofit. But that scares the crap out of me. What would you say to those people who might be thinking that?
The first thing I'm going to say is, just for a moment, if you didn't think it was fear, could it be excitement instead?
Oh, okay. I'm half with you on that. Only halfway, though.
You know, anything we've never tried before, we assume we have to have the fear that it might not work out. Like, how many things have you tried in your life, Jennifer, that you had absolutely no idea what to do, how to do it? Someone threw you in it and you figured it out.
That's true. I hate it when that happens, but I have figured it out despite my complaining through it.
But when you figured it out, did it ever turn out greater than you ever imagined?
You're absolutely right. It did. When I opened my company 7.5 years ago, I thought, who the heck am I to open a staffing firm? And, you know, I've worked for somebody else, but owning a company is a whole different animal. And here I am 7.5 years later teaching other people how to open their own companies. So,
see?
And you're right.
And I get so many of us, literally, I think it's just what society says, what people, the experts around the world, they're always making it a little bit more difficult. But if we break it down, and actually I want to talk about some of that maybe tonight too, is like, don't think of it as the big picture of how am I going to know everything I need to know? Mm. But maybe more start with, what actually do I even know here? What skills do I have? I think a lot of times we underestimate our skills and say, oh, that's so easy for me. So you don't even consider it as a skill. But if you actually wrote down your skills, you'd realize that what you think you know nothing about, you actually know so much more than you realize. And from that step, you can keep building on it and then find what it is that might match what you would like to have in the future.
So it sounds like whether you're planning to open your own company or perhaps go out there and tip your toe in the water of the job market, the first step is to evaluate your own skills so that it's not something that you're afraid of to go out there and interview to begin with.
Yeah, one thing I always like to share with people is start with you before you start with a company. You know, explore what makes you get out of the bed every day. You know, what are things that would be fun for you? What are things that you currently have in your current job that you actually would like to continue enhancing and growing? And then what are things that you're not even doing that you have the curiosity for? And with that, also leave room for not having it all figured out.
But it's so much easier when you can control all the moving pieces, then there's less fear and be afraid of. I say
I'll tell you, I was the biggest control freak in the world. Because we think if we control it, we will be successful. It will turn out exactly as we imagine it to be.
And it never does.
But if you look at everything you've accomplished in your life, most of it was not in a controlled environment.
I have to sit with that for a second. You could be right about that.
But what happens is when we're thrown into things, we are being thrown into something we didn't even expect, or it's just this unpredictable environment, or things didn't work, so they added you to add things that you can do that can make it better. They were all in an uncontrolled environment. When you're in an uncontrolled environment, it feels a little wonky and weird because you're like, wow, I have no idea how this needs to be. But that's when you're actually willing to be more creative.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I was listening to one of my spiritual teachers a weekend or two ago, Rev Kev, and he was talking about if you see things as an adventure, it's all about your perspective. Adventure to some people might mean fear and unknown, but to other people, like you said at the beginning, it could mean excitement and unending possibilities, basically.
Exactly. And it's your curiosity, you know, it's your curiosity in asking questions instead of having it all figured out and all control that lets you even have ideas that are the impossible ideas. You know what I mean? So that's when you're actually in possibilities versus conclusion.
Okay. And so if somebody's getting ready to go out there and perhaps they're going to into an important business meeting, or maybe they're exploring new career opportunities, I know one of the biggest turnoffs for employers on my end of the recruiting side is when somebody comes across as canned or they're not able to fully self-express. So it's normally one of three things. So somebody either comes across too cheesy where you can tell nothing that they're saying is theirs or their words, that they're just kind of repeating something someone told them. Two is that they don't really shine because they're afraid to toot their own horn. Or three is that they're so, what's the word I'm looking for, like verbose and pompous, perhaps, that it comes across as just completely off-putting to the employer. So how do you avoid being in one of those three positions when you set foot in an interview?
You know, I want to start actually a couple steps before the interview.
Okay.
I think a lot of people make the mistake of thinking they only have a couple of options when it comes to interviews. And so the first thing I would say is first figure out, what do you even want? What would you like to have in your life? And it goes back to getting to know you a little bit more. Like, what are things you actually would enjoy? What are things you'd like to add to your career, advancements, things that you'd like to explore? And with that, start to explore what companies out there are even doing some of the things that you're interested in. So that when you do walk into that interview, you know more about you and you could be authentic with you, but you also know a little bit more about the organization that you're going into and what's going to work and not even work in their environment. You know, these days we have the internet, the magical www.
I don't even think you need the www anymore. I think you can just type it all in and it just pops right up.
It does. But you've got a wealth of information between social media, between websites, between LinkedIn, between ways that you can ask people, hey, who knows someone here? Get to know what that culture is going to be like. Like, for example, you know, you said some people come in so stiff, like, oh my God, I have to say the right words. And, you know, you mentioned earlier with right voice for you. The right voice for you is actually about you knowing what is your voice versus you trying to imitate somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I actually did staffing years ago personally myself too. And one of the things that made me successful was the matching of what the client, not only what the requirements were, but getting to know their culture, getting to know the personality of the hiring manager and the people that they're going to be working with. And it was this marriage, right? You found someone that not only had the skills and abilities, but also was going to be a fit to that environment. And that's what employers want to know. They don't want you being, you know, somebody else, because it will come out after the honeymoon period's done.
Yeah, you're
they
right.
They want to know up front.
We see it happen a lot of the people who don't work out in jobs. It's either on one party's behalf or another that something's misrepresented or inauthentic. In some cases, unfortunately, it can be the company that misrepresents the culture or what's available to an individual. And on the flip side, I think that you're doing either way a disservice to yourself and to whoever it is that you're interviewing with when you don't authentically share what your needs are and match those up to the employer. And like you said, as a recruiter, part of your recruiter's job is to do that matching. But if you're out there interviewing on your own, it's up to you to effectively ascertain whether or not that's going to be the right fit.
And, you know, I think one of the things that, and I work with executives at all level and I work with staffing at all level. And it's so interesting to me that no matter what level you are, people forget during the interview, you're interviewing them as much as they're interviewing you. So it is about you doing your homework first and have a list of questions that you can ask them to know, hey, is this company going to be a fit for me? Is this job going to be a fit for me? Is the culture going to be a fit for me? So there's some things to do ahead of time as well, you know?
Yeah, I think that the people who I've seen who take the time to do their due diligence prior to an interview, it's that two-sided street, because on the one hand, you want to make sure that you can show your capabilities to be prepared and to do your due diligence and to have good information on the company. But in the same way, like you said, I see so many job seekers who get to the end of an interview and they just kind of have these cliche questions. Tell me about a typical day, not actual questions that they put thought into or questions that really matter to them, but just kind of more catch-all questions. And I think employers notice it, and the more specific and the more targeted your questions are, the more it benefits you and the more an employer can tell that you are being authentic and not just regurgitating questions that you read on the internet.
And I have a couple of fun questions
I'd like to share
with people. So one of the things during the interview, I do want to talk about nervousness, because a lot of times people, you know, it doesn't matter what level you are in your current organization. You know, for example, my husband was with one company that kept getting acquired for 17 years. So he, although he kept updating and kept getting promotions and stuff, he really had not updated his resume for the outside world or even really officially interviewed. So it's like, no matter what that is, like, have fun with it. What if the interview did not have to be so serious? Like, I know that's like the piece I'm saying now. I'm not telling you to go in and be so silly that you're not presenting yourself well, but there is a level of enjoyment that could be part of this interview process between you and the hiring manager. And one of the things that I like to share is actually a Right Voice for You tool is, wherever you are, just for a moment, totally like put your feet firm on the ground, take a breath, and then as you let go of your breath, like literally drop your walls, your barriers, your fears, your whatever you've got going on. Just keep saying like, okay, drop, 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 drop. And what you'll realize is that you're now becoming the authentic you. Not all these energies that you perceive you have to have because you're going into an interview.
Okay. Can I play devil's advocate with you for a moment on that?
Yes.
Love this. And I'm saying, for me personally, I do agree with a lot of what you're saying. And I also hear across the nation and the world, the naysayers out there, kind of their voices in my head saying, yeah, but that's not something. It's not like, oh, I can just put my feet on the ground and allow a breath. And then voila, I am my highest, best, most authentic self. Because when you say it that way, it does sound like, oh, it's just easy. And I do agree that to some extent, the more grounded you are as a person and the more developmental work you've done on yourself over the years, whether it's been 1 year, 30 or 40 years, the easier of a time you're going to be able to have to get into that zone. But I think that for so many of us, just being human beings, we have noise. We have that noise in our head that says, I'm going to screw this up. That boyfriend from 10 years ago said I wasn't pretty enough. And that girlfriend I had said I wasn't smart or driven enough. And so how do you put all of those things aside so that you're not carrying those voices with you into the interview?
What if you made the voices even louder?
Excuse me?
What if you do the opposite of what you think you have to do? I think a lot of times most people do have the voices in their head and they make them be the real voices, right? Instead of the authentic you voice. So sometimes people have a harder time saying, okay, I'm going to make it go away. But what if you talk to those voices, and what if you made them be bigger to the point that you make it so big that they explode? So, you know, sometimes I like to have the opposite, like just get your mind out of it. How to get your mind, your monkey mind out of it. And sometimes it is going the extremes, you know? Okay, great. I am terrible. I'm a terrible person. Thank you so much for that information. I'm not going to get this job. Okay. So I have nothing to worry about coming into this job. I'm just saying sometimes the opposite psychology works for you to diffuse what you've made more significant than you, which is someone else's point of view about you.
I would say yes. And I think that people have to be careful because some of our listeners out there might be going, oh my gosh, you kind of spiral down that wormhole. And then you start saying, I really am a mess. My boss was right. I am horrible. So I think it's important not to come from like a victim place about it and that to actually have fun with it. I think what you're saying is to like play with the voices and have fun with them.
Have fun. Now it starts, once again, all of this starts before the interview. You know, it's about applying these tools before you actually go into the interview. Do some role playing with some friends that you actually trust and have a good time with, and try to diffuse some of those, you know, some of those worries, some of those monkey mind things, some of those judgments, truly in a different way. One thing that I love about Access Consciousness, which is where Right Voice came from, is we actually say, what if you made money from judgment? Like, how much less pressure would you have if you actually made money from it? you know, the Madonnas of the world, do you think that they care what your point of view is? No. If anything, they allow all that energy to just exude them and be able to pull you deeper into whatever it is that they're creating. So what if you had fun with judgments? You know, what if judgments weren't the most serious thing in the world?
So what would be an example if when you say you could have fun with judgments? Because I think, again, Madonna, of course, we can all imagine Madonna, Taylor Swift, whoever it might be. But for somebody out there who's thinking, well, how does that apply to me? How could I bring fun and play to the judgments I have about myself or that others have about me?
You know, one of the things I didn't even know until recently, like in the last 6 years of actually working with these tools, is there's so much judgment, but most of us think it's okay when someone says you're beautiful or you're wearing a nice dress versus someone says, hey, your voice was not very good when you were singing X, Y, and Z. You know, we focus on all of those things. And one tool that I love, love, love is when someone is saying something to you, to diffuse it, to say in your head, interesting point of view.
Interesting point of view.
If you say it 10 times, it usually diffuses the fire energy of someone judging you. So let's try it. I mean, let's have the listeners try this too. Like, think of someone who drives you crazy, who is always criticizing you, or, you know, there's just something that they do. Okay. Just think of them for a moment. Okay. How do you feel about them? How does your body feel when you think about them?
Are frustrated.
Okay. So now I'm going to say to you, say in your head, interesting point of view.
Okay.
Interesting point of view. You have this point of view.
Okay.
Interesting point of view. I have this point of view.
Okay.
Interesting point of view. Interesting point of view, 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 interesting point of view. Now think about the person. Is it the same? Is it different?
I have to say that may have actually worked, you know, because you get so irked by people in business or life or, you know, significant others just because life happens and you just want to like shake people sometimes. But I like that. So kind of telling yourself mentally interesting point of view. And then I noticed you started by saying, did you say interesting point of view I or was it always interesting point of view? I want to make sure I understood that.
It doesn't matter the order, but there's three things you could say. Interesting point of view by itself.
Uh-huh.
Interesting point of view, you have this point of view.
Okay.
Or interesting point of view, I have this point of view. Because usually for them to irk you, there's something there that you're contributing to that irking energy. And what if their words was just an opinion and didn't have to affect you?
I love that. So it's about not taking it personally, and then by getting outside of yourself and saying interesting point of view you have or I have, it's taking the judgment out of it and allowing you to kind of separate yourself from the it's about me.
Yeah. And what it does is that, you know, everything is energy. Like, for example, you know, being frustrated is an energy, being happy is an energy. And when you diffuse the polarity of the energy, so it's not good or bad, you actually allow you to have greater information, be more creative in the situation. That's what I was saying with the interview. You know, one question to also ask in your head is, what does this person require of me? What would they like to hear from me? And when you do it from that neutral space, what you're actually going to do is get energy and ideas in your head of a topic to talk about.
That seems like a great party trick too. You know how sometimes you're at a dull party and you're like, oh my gosh, how am I going to make it through this mixer? And then you're like, what do they require of me? What could we do to make this conversation more interesting?
Totally. And I think a lot of times with interviews, like you said earlier, people feel like, I have to be scripted. I need to know that I have the perfect question to ask. But you don't know what happened in the interviewer's life 5 minutes before you got there. You don't know if they're having a divorce in their family. You don't know if the system's completely broke down and the IT people are going crazy. Like, you just don't know what you actually walked into. So you having, you know, the ability to just ask questions allows you to have more information of what they actually require from you, so you can shift and share the information the way they require. Because, you know, Jennifer, you and I have worked with lots of hiring managers. No two are ever the same.
That's very true.
And no two have the same personality or what they're actually looking for. They'll have foundational things they're looking for, but they're always going to be different.
That's a great point. And I think it takes you out of being a victim and puts you in a proactive rather than a reactive position in the interview.
I love to call it become the conscious leader of your life, where you are the chooser and not the chosen one. And that's something that we talk a lot about in the tools of Right Voice as well, is like, how do you become the one who's actually choosing versus always being the one who has to be selected?
That is such a sexy, great point. It's so true, because if you're always the one just waiting for somebody to pick you, it's like you're a girl standing on the corner of a dance floor hoping the boy you like or boys you like will come over and ask you to dance, and you're always standing on the periphery waiting for that dance. And I feel like many of us as human beings spend our whole lives waiting to be asked to dance when we could just get out there. It makes me actually think of it this weekend. I was at a Halloween party at the golf club that we belong to, and I was sitting having dinner with my husband and a couple friends of ours, and my favorite song came on. You know that song where you like have to get up and dance? And my husband just wasn't in the mood. And I was trying to get my friends and they weren't in it. And I was like, by God, I'm going to get out there and dance. And less than like 5 minutes later, I was out there having the time of my life dancing, didn't need anybody to ask me. And there were 20 people on the dance floor with me 5 minutes later, just because who cares? I'll start my own dance party.
I really think that's the wave of the future, truly, as leaders too. Like, we have to be willing to lead and go places no one else is willing to go. We have to be willing to go places that has never even occurred yet. You know, that's where the creativity, that's where the innovations are going to come from. And so we also have to apply those tools in our personal life. And even as a parent, those are the ways we also have to empower our kids to know that they have to be the leaders of their life too, and not be waiting for someone to do it for them.
Yeah, that's been a very hot topic. I would say most of the guests for the last 6 months that I've had on the show, at some point or another on the show, it always comes up about being a leader in your life. And I think that we're moving very much away from the days of old, the last 100+ years of our parents and our grandparents' generations, where we were taught to be good followers. And I think that as society, we're being taught to be extraordinary leaders and to step into our greatness now.
Exactly. And, you know, a leader doesn't always lead in the front either. So I think, you know, when people think of followers, it's not always about being a follower or leader, but it's knowing what is required in the environment that you're in right now. Like, there's plenty of things that I might be the leader of, and there's plenty of projects where there's other leaders that I can contribute my thoughts, my ideas, and really be able to assist that project or that environment to continue to move forward.
Yeah, I like that. It's not always about having to be the one out front and the one with your name on the wall. And sometimes it's the people doing the behind the scenes stuff that can make the greatest impact as a leader, even though they're not always acknowledged for it.
And I love being a leader. You don't even have to have the title of a leader. You don't have to be a VP. You don't have to have a plaque on the wall. You know, like, I work a lot with kids as well. And it's like, you being the leader of your life means that it's not always about you have the title or someone has put you in that promoted position. But what can you do in your school environment? What can you do in a class so you are inspiring and empowering others to also step up?
I love that. That is brilliant. So now that we know how to prepare, we've gotten the basics down of how to authentically connect to ourselves, different exercises, to even listen and be more present in the interview. What do you do once you set foot in the interview to maintain this consciousness that you've brought to the table?
I say continue to ask questions while you're there. Make the interview interactive. One of the questions I actually love personally asking in the environments is, what questions would you like to be asked about this role or this position that no one else has asked you? Because what if you also could put the employer on the spot of being creative too, and not only, you know, boxed answers as well?
Now, I could see that go either way, because like you said, it all goes back to the personality of the hiring manager. And I could see some hiring managers being inspired, and especially I think in roles that are require more creative out of the box thinking. I think maybe marketing and different sorts of roles of that ilk are going to help. But I think that in some conservative jobs, like in corporate America, people might look at you strange and give you side eye and then go back to asking their questions. So what has been your experience of that?
You know what? I work with lots of different kinds of people, and it spins them in a way that for me so far has always turned out to be more positive, because you are willing to be creative and think outside the box. And no matter how structured the environment is, what's not working is they don't have enough creative people to think outside the box. And it also lets you know, remember at the beginning I said, look for what it is that you actually enjoy. What are things you'd like to add? And what organization is going to be able to offer you what you're looking for? So if you're looking to be more creative, if you're looking to be with an organization that's more progressive and out of the box, this might work for you. If you're not, don't use this question, but just ask questions that you know will allow you to better figure out, is this the job that's going to be a fit for me? Or is this company going to be a fit for me?
Yeah, I think the idea of inquiry, I think, is something that's underutilized in society. And the more that we play with getting curious and inquiring about things, the more that it opens up greater possibilities and dialogues, whether you're just sitting at a Halloween party tomorrow night or going in for a third round interview tomorrow. I think in either scenario, if you get creative and play and bring curiosity to the table, it is going to open up things that weren't available there.
Curiosity is the key. And when you're curious, you tend not to be stiff. You tend to relax too. So you will portray, even your voice will be different in the way you're sharing your information and your voice with others. And your authentic side will really come out. I can't tell you how many interviews or how many networking events or how many, you know, I tend to meet a lot of people because I travel a lot too, and, you know, sitting next to me or whatever, like, people want to get to know you more. And when you are curious, you lower those walls of barriers and you actually allow them in to who you are. Now, you're not going to be like your best friend for 2 years, right? But it still allows this connection to happen. I mean, Jennifer, you and I were talking. It's funny. My business, we started our businesses around the same time. We love our animals who are fluffy.
Yes, we do. Your bunny and my fluffy white dog.
You know, there's a lot of places that in 2 seconds, we were able to create that connection between us. And it really can't happen if you're trying to be something you're not. So, you know, once again, I have to say, are you also willing not to get the job?
Great question.
Is this the right job for you? You know, I mean, and for me, when I think of being the chooser, not the chosen one, okay, if this job didn't work out, what else is possible I've never even considered? What other company could I be talking to? Who do my friends know? What environments match what it is that I'm actually asking as my next career move? You know, there's just a lot of different questions you could be asking. You know, my husband just started today. Actually, it's funny that this interview is happening today. He started his new job today.
Wow, congratulations.
Well. Thank you. And, you know, I will tell you, I'm not sure if this is the company he would have chosen the day that he chose to leave the other company he was at. You know, and through the process, I really told him, like, you really need to sit down and get to know what you really want to do. Because a lot of us have a lot of judgments of who we don't want to work for, the type of environment we don't want to have. But it's a lot of it is based on other people's points of view versus what we actually think would make us happy. So, yeah. And he ended up getting this possibility because of a friend he used to work with at his company 6 years ago. And he would have never contacted him at first. He found him through another connection of someone else. You know, it's this whole like 6 points of separation. Like, you never know. Leave your options open and see, play with it, go. And I tell people who haven't interviewed for a while, go have some interviews that you have no care if you get the job or not, to practice being you in front of other people.
That's such a funny concept, isn't it? To practice being you in front of other people. I think that, you know, when we look at children, they're fully self-expressed, just running around like these little girls who are on the dance floor on Saturday. Just cracked me up. Their mom, great idea for anybody out there who has kids for Halloween and you don't know what to do. She put her kids, little girls in leotards and had their hair hairsprayed straight up and purple and pink like little trolls. And that's all she did is she just put their hair up. But it was like, they just didn't care, man. They were out there on the dance floor. They were like the second things out there after I was on the dance floor, just being fully self-expressed. And I think it's just funny as adults that we lose that ability to be playful, have fun, and be authentically self-expressed. And now we need to go practice with our friends being our authentic selves.
Isn't that interesting? But that's actually one of the teachers I also, facilitate too. And that's what right voice is. It's like, let go of all the voices of who you think you have to be and truly be your own authentic voice. And that's in all parts of your life, you know, whether it's your relationship with your spouse, you being a parent, you being in the boardroom, or you working with colleagues, being able to have your voice and not lose it because of your environment. So, yeah, have fun.
I love
it. Have more fun.
I think that is a great point, especially the night before Halloween. So have fun and be safe. I will throw that caveat out there. Uber or Lyft if you must. But I'll get you aside. I could talk to you for hours. We'll definitely have to have you on the show again sometime next year, because I think I love this conversation that you brought to the table about awareness and authenticity and how important that is in interviews, because I think we often skim that over and spend way too much time focusing on the correct answer to an interview question when, like you said, it's more about who you're being than it is what you're saying.
Exactly. And I also want to say, like, when you ask what can they hear as well, or what do they desire to hear, sometimes I think people who interview also say too much. So it's also about gauging. Like, the more you start to ask questions in your own head, know when you're also about to share too much information. Because I think I see that a lot in interviews too. You know, being the authentic you is about you actually being aware of what the other person can hear and not hear as well.
Oof, great advice. So good. We definitely need to have you on again. But I want to make sure our listeners know where to find you, how to connect with you. Where should they go if they want to find out about your services and what it is you do?
Awesome. Lots of different places to find us. BellaPemo.com, and that's BellaPemo.com, is my management consulting company. And I share a lot around Right Voice and Joy Business and a few other things that I do. And then my other business is GlobalWellnessForAll.com. And you will find the classes listed there as well. So it just depends on which site makes you happier. Welcome to find us either way.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Lale. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. And as a reminder to all of our listeners out there, if you missed any portion of the show, it will be available immediately for download after the show on LA Talk Radio's archive on my page, Get Yourself the Job. Or we invite you to download, subscribe, find any and all of our episodes on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes, or interact with us on our Get Yourself the Job Facebook page as well. So tune in next week as we have Simone Melassus on the show talking about what brings you joy. We're going to build upon the conversation that Lale and I had this week and delve further into what does it actually mean to find joy in what you do every day. So thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. Thank you so much for Lale for sharing your wisdom with us today, and happy and safe Halloween to everyone out there.
Listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.